Good morning. My name is Samuel, and I'll be the assistant during the conference that we'll be having today. Right now, we would like to welcome you all to this third quarter result presentation for 2018 of Argos Group. All lines have been placed on silent mode in order to avoid any sounds or noises. After the presentation, there's going to be a Q&A session. If you'd like to ask any question in that moment, please press star followed by key 1 on your phone dial. Thank you. Now, let me introduce Natalia Arguello, who is Investor Relations Director. Ms. Arguello, the word's yours. Good morning. My name is Natalia Arguello, Investor Relations Director. Thank you for your participation in this call in which we'll be discussing the results of Argos Group for the third quarter 2018. With me, we have Jorge Mario Velasquez, President of Argos Group, Alejandro Piedraita, VP of Corporate Finances for Grupo Argos, Camilo Abello, VP for Corporate Matters of Grupo Argos, Mauricio Osa, Audiencia President, Pablo Rodríguez, VP of Corporate Finances for Audiencia, Maria Clara Cisala, who is the Real Estate Business Manager. This conference is being translated into English simultaneously. All the reports, relevant information, presentations will be published in Spanish, English, in our investor portal, www.grupoargos.com. In this same webpage, we've also placed the presentation that we'll be following in this teleconference. To download it, please go to the section Financial Information and then Reports. We will be finding a file called Presentation 3T2018. I invite you all to check slide number 2, and then we give the word to Jorge Mario Velasquez, President of Grupo Argos. Natalia, thank you. Thank you. Thanks to everyone. Thank you for being with us this morning to share the results for the third quarter 2018. Before diving into the presentation, I'd like to stop for a moment in our strategy that has been actually our navigation map. That has allowed us to show the results that reflect growth in all businesses. For each strategic business of the group, the challenges have been different in every single moment. While in cement, we've focused to be more efficient and competitive, achieving an EBITDA that grows and has grown in a sustained manner in the last 12 months, reaching 425 billion Colombian pesos for this quarter. In concessions, our challenge has been focused on the growing generation of the portfolio value, obtaining for the third quarter of this year a profit of 69 billion Colombian pesos, that's much higher than the 2 billion that we obtained in the same period for 2017. The energy business has also achieved important goals thanks to the strategic discipline that has been applied by the group. This year, Celsia has had as a challenge the strategic concentration, allowing a simplification in the shareholding society of the structure that we want to close successfully with the AEPSA energy assets that will be actually the driver of the group within the energy sector. This strategic advancement just don't show the coherence in that north that we've defined in our management, but are also supported in a common DNA by which we want to generate the largest shared value for all our groups of interest under a deep responsibility framework following ethics and that conviction for sustainability. Because of this, it's great to receive recognition such as the Dow Jones Sustainability Index that for the second year in a row places us as the most sustainable company in the world for construction materials, recognizing also Cementos Argos in third place in the world and Celsia as a reference in Latin America being included within the Dow Jones Sustainability Index for the integrated Latin American market known as MILA. The work that we've been advancing on in the different dimensions ESG, thanks to its acronym in English, to represent the dimensions of environment, social, and government. We could see on slide 4 is the lever that has led to obtain this recognition, what we want to highlight. First, our good practices around corporate government, especially in topics such as gender equality and independence. Second, our excellent rating in Great Place to Work that recognizes us as one of the best companies to work in Colombia. Besides the strategic reorganization of our foundations that became the most important foundation nationwide and that has a central axis, topics such as water and preservation and conservation of biodiversity. Finally, I want to highlight the CO2 emission reduction and the tree planting that's focused on the conservation and preservation of the environment. At the same time, during this year, we've advanced in the measurement of externalities that regard our business, measuring what we take and measuring what we deliver under a model that we are actually world leaders. And this model began in Cementos Argos with results that indicate that this company gave back to society almost five times from what it took from it back in 2017. This is a methodology that we're applying to all our businesses, beginning by urban development, which report will be ready close to April 2019. All this shows that sustainability is placed in the most important page of our strategic agenda. And because of this, the recognitions that I've mentioned fill us with pride, but also with responsibility, because we do know that's a key of trust for the market and for you who are our investors. Now, I'd like to move on and look at the most relevant facts that happened within the consolidated results in Grupo Argos. That's why I want to invite you to check the consolidated financial reports that you'll be finding on slides 5, 6, and 7. And the consolidated income for Grupo Argos for the second and third quarter reached 3.6 trillion Colombian pesos. These are aligned with what has been presented in the same quarter last year, excluding the Compass operation effects. Those incomes are supported in positive contributions coming from all our strategic businesses, such as cement, concessions, energy, that were higher than close to 100 billion Colombian pesos if we compare this with last year. The largest contribution came from the energy business, which growth was supported in an increase of an 83% in thermal generation in Colombia, which allowed obtaining higher consolidated income despite low prices of the stock market in the country, but at the same time led to an increase of 18% in costs for that period, which led EBITDA to close in 259 billion Colombian pesos. Despite this effect, consolidated EBITDA for Argos Group was aligned compared with September 2017, closing with a figure close to 1 trillion pesos. Well, in contrast with the energy business, the concession business, and the cement business, were able to close the quarter with positive contributions around 232 billion Colombian pesos and 427 billion Colombian pesos, respectively. If we exclude the disinvestment effects coming from Compass back in 2017, EBITDA would present an accumulated growth of 3%. In concessions, we want to highlight that EBITDA was almost doubled compared with the same period last year. This was because of the efficiencies both in cost structures as well as financial structures and taxation structures, added also to extraordinary effects that happened in 2017 and 2018. Regarding cement, we want to share with enthusiasm the great task that this business has been leading, not just maintaining the leadership in its three regions, but also increasing in a sustainable manner the efficiency in terms of costs and expenses, contributing positively to Argos Group EBITDA in the last 15 months. even excluding the specific effects that we had, such as the sanctions coming from SIC. At the same time, I would like to highlight that from our holding, we've led an expense and cost efficiency plan that has led to a generalized improvement both for the structured costs as well as for the financial costs as well as for taxations. In terms of structured costs, we see how this dropped 17% in this quarter, led by the sustained policy of intelligent use of our resources, but we've been able to have a reduction of 26 billion Colombian pesos in Grupo Argos and 11 billion Colombian pesos in cements. In the case of Odinsa and Celsia, the structure expenses were aligned with 2017, with increases that were lower than the consumer price index. Only Opain presented a real increase given to higher costs and expenses associated to the operation of those new open spaces at the beginning of 2018 and due to the expansion of El Dorado Airport. Regarding financial expenses, we obtained a reduction of the consolidated cost around a 3% that allowed savings of 7 billion Colombian pesos, which shows the great results that of our management that has been focused on the optimization of the structure. In general, the financial expenses of all the branches were aligned or under compared with last year. At this point, I'd like to highlight the recent close financial operation led by Cementos Argos with a credit of around $600 million, which led to an optimization of 3 basic points in the rate and improvement in the profile of the company that goes from 5.1 to 6 years. The close of this operation just doesn't have a favorable impact in Cementos Argos finances, but also ratifies the trust of the market and of the financial system under the strategy of this business and of the group in general. Finally, before speaking about net profit, I need to highlight the important taxation management that's reflected in our quarter results with reductions both in the income tax as well as in the deferred tax that are close to 120 billion Colombian pesos. The sum of all these efforts derived in a net profit that grows 37% compared with the same quarter last year, which shows our good management and how we generate value constantly for you shareholders. Concerning the profit of the controller, this shows a positive variation of 42% impacted by a larger contribution of all the businesses, but more specifically because of the concessions and cement business. Now let me invite you to move on to slide number 8, where we'll be going over separate results for Argos Group. For September 2018, separated income were of 246 billion Colombian pesos that are broken down in 216 billion Colombian pesos net of participation, net almost tripling the figure for 2017, and 31 billion Colombian pesos for the real estate business that presented a relevant reduction due to the appraisals done in the third quarter last year following a policy that was implemented in that year and that had an impact of 112 billion Colombian pesos. For the upcoming quarters of that appraisal, we implemented a quarterly adjustment policy that has been softening the accounting effects and that can be shared with you in its moment. So here I'd like to stop in the increase of more than 200% of the participation method that shows the strength that's been manifested on a daily basis in the business results. In that sense, I want to highlight the growth of the cement and concession business that presented increases of 18% and 1300% respectively. In concessions, the contribution was of 87 billion Colombian pesos, supported in positive operational results in both concessions of ADN and BTA in the Dominican Republic and Autopistas del Café and Pacífico Dos in Colombia, as well as for higher taxation efficiencies that were translated into less deferred taxes for that quarter. In cement, the results of the company operational-wise keep showing a constant recovery, fruit of a higher level of dispatches that grows in 2.2% in cement and in 1.3% in concrete for the quarter consolidated values. Favorable both for the Caribbean and for Central America in Colombia. Besides this, we also have sales effects that were reduced in a 5% for a growing net profit that closed in 74 billion Colombian pesos. The energy business, in its case, had a reduction according to the participation method associated with higher costs of this previously mentioned quarter and specific events in the Central American operation. In terms of expenses and administration, for administration and sales, we could see that this keep on growing, aligned with our efficiency policy, and show an aggregated reduction of 57% year after year, resulting a reduction in controllable expenses and recurrent expenses for Argos Group, we have a 5%. Separated EBITDA was located in 223 billion Colombian pesos that, without the compass effect, grows 11% compared to September last year. Before analyzing the financial results for and by each business, I would like to invite you to check on slide number nine, the evolution of our leverage indicators that also presented a positive dynamic, fruit of continuous work done over the improvement of the capital structure, both for the holding as well as for the business group. September this year, debt closed in 1.7 trillion Colombian pesos, 10% over the presented debt last year, but lower than 1.8 trillion Colombian pesos compared with our previous quarter. Despite this reduction, Argos Group indicators were still healthy financial-wise, with a net debt against EBITDA separated two times, and financial costs that keep declining as the result of the market trust and of the rigorosity of our treasury office. As well, I want to highlight good management done in terms of financing by our businesses, where we can see a generalized reduction of their leverage indicators. Before moving on to the revision of the main advancements that we've obtained in our operational businesses, I'd like to emphasize how the use of our cash resources has been a lever for strengthening our portfolio. In 2018, Argos Group has invested close to 1 trillion Colombian pesos, increasing its presence in its three strategic businesses, supporting the stock emission in Celsia, taking market opportunities in cement, and finalizing the minority participation acquisitions in Odinsa. Up next, I want to invite you to check the results and advancements for the concessions, cement, energy, and real estate business. Let's start by Odinsa on slide found on page number 12. For this quarter, I want to highlight the positive dynamic, not just the financial results, but also the operational results presented by Odinsa. And this shows significant growth both on an EBITDA level that closed in a figure that was close to 162 billion Colombian pesos, showing a growth of 122%, as well as net profit going from 2 billion to 69 billion Colombian pesos, obviously impacting favorably the consolidated results of Argos Group. Operational-wise, as you could see on slide number 13, during the third quarter 2018, Audiencia Concessions operated in an adequate manner with a very important impulse from the incomes coming from the airport concessions that increased their traffic in 2%. The total number of attended passengers in those airports operated by Audiencia reached 9.5 million in September 2018, highlighting especially the performance of international passengers with a consolidated increase of 4% between Quibdó and Opaín. It's also important to note that a substantial part of these increases comes from the good dynamic that's being presented by Mariscal Sucre Airport in Quito, with growths that increase a 5% during the whole year. Concerning road traffic, a daily average was 74,000 vehicles, growing 2.5% compared with same quarter last year, which makes this the quarter with the highest quarter variation for 2018. In terms of Pacífico Dos concession, its works execution is over 55%, 7% over our initial schedule. In this quarter, functional unit number one was completely delivered, meaning by these two units that have been delivered this year from those five total units that have to be delivered. We hope that for the end of 2018, with an investment that's close to 400 billion Colombian pesos, advancing the work that has become an Audiencia seal and an icon for the Colombian infrastructure industry in terms of technical rigorosity and responsible management of these stakeholders and respecting the environment and populations around the work sites. Now, to learn about the financial results, let me invite you to move on to page number 14 of the presentation. The incomes for third quarter 2018 reached 186 billion Colombian pesos, reducing a 7% compared with the same quarter last year. This year is explained by lower incomes per constructions of road concessions in Green Corridor in Aruba that was in its operational phase and to Maya Vial El Meta that hasn't yet started its construction. Anyway, we want to highlight a higher contribution of airport concessions due to better net results that can be explained due to the increase in traffic of the international segment. EBITDA closed in 162 billion Colombian pesos with a significant growth year after year. At an operational level, we want to highlight a higher profit for the exercise of Pacifico Dos as well as for the airport concessions. In addition, I want to highlight that part of the EBITDA increase is the result of adjustments that are not recurrent adjustments in operations such as Autopista El Café concession for 33 billion Colombian pesos and the reappraisal of the Northeste highways in Dominican Republic. Net profit for Audiencia was in 69 billion Colombian pesos, 67 billion Colombian pesos over compared with the same period last year. And due to the results of Autopista del Nordeste, Autopista del Café, Pacifico Dos, as well explained by the taxation efficiencies that led to a lower tax value for the current tax and for the third tax for this period. Given that DINSA's results don't consolidate Opaín, but this is done by Argos Group, I want to invite you to go over the main operational advancements and the behavior of those figures, which are contained on slide number 15, or found on page 15. September this year, El Dorado Airport began the installation of 10,000 solar panels that will generate close to 12% of the airport's energy. With this project, El Dorado wants to become the main photovoltaic facility within Latin America. Going into the list of those 8 in the region that count with solar energy, I also want to highlight that Ethiopian Airlines, the largest African cargo operator, has officially begun operations in the airport, what we hope it can contribute to the growth in the segment. Concerning the operational figures, in El Dorado, 8 million passengers used the airport compared with, it's an increase compared with the same period last year. We also want to highlight the increase of international passengers near 4%, reaching a 2.8 million passengers for this period. Operational income corresponding to the regulated and non-regulated income for the quarter reached 258 billion Colombian pesos for an increase of 11%, part of an increase of the international traffic that pays a higher airport rate and a growth in 30% growth in the non-regulated incomes thanks to the new operation of the commercial spaces. EBITDA reached 81 billion Colombian pesos, increasing 11%, and net profit for this quarter reached 37 billion Colombian pesos with an increase over 200% compared with last year, showing a positive management aligned with the business plan that we have set. Now that we saw the concession business, let us move to the cement business. Before going into the figures of this quarter, I wanted to highlight that good practices in cement, its history, and a transparent and open communication with its groups of interest has allowed the company to be a reference in the country as well as internationally. As an example of this, the company obtained 5th place within the Merkle Empresa's reputation ranking, and it was considered as the 3rd business in terms of sustainability for the industry in the Dow Jones Sustainability Index. These recognitions were explicitly reflected in the trust of the financial sector that has a syndicated credit of $600 million, allowed an optimization of 30 basic points and an increase in the debt. In these terms, the results of this quarter are aligned with the efficiency strategy followed by the company, supported in the implementation of the successful program called Eficiencia para Colombia that began to expand itself to the United States. We observed a cost reduction for energetics close to 23%, led with a reduction in the capital working days that led to savings of 22 billion Colombian pesos. At a consolidated level, the administration and purchase expenses had a reduction of 5%, which led to administration expense reduction of 11%. In operational matters, dispatches grew a 2% thanks to a better performance of the Colombian region. In this region, I want to highlight that despite the industry reduced 0.5%, our cement business grew at rates of 1.7%, supported in higher cement dispatches by Sachs. Same time, we saw increases in the concrete sales, 3% increase in Colombia, showing the good dynamics that we've been following with civil works, which grew 53%, which confirms the leadership of the cement business as the main concrete supplier for the infrastructure projects of the country. In terms of the financial results that can be found on slide number 19, we can see how the improvement in the volume dynamic is translated into incomes that grew a 1% and that reached 2.2 trillion Colombian pesos for this quarter. The EBITDA was 425 billion Colombian pesos, growing 4% compared with the same period last year for a margin of 19%. This figure reflects a higher operational efficiency achieved by Cementos Argos in all its regions. To end with the results of the cement business, net profit for this quarter was COP 74 billion, growing at 13% year-by-year as a result of the operational improvements and the optimization of the capital structure. Before moving on to the energy business results, I would like to highlight the good financial results of the cement business that are not just supported by discipline, but also by a commercial strategy that's focused to come closer to our customers through its easy and differentiated offer. In that terms, we implemented the best available technology using platforms such as Argos One, with which that has actually overcome our expectations. Now we're receiving 60% of the cement orders and 43% of the concrete orders through that technology. This same technology is being also replicated in the other regions. Now let us move on to the results of the energy business that can be found in pages 21 and 23. Before moving on to the financial results, I just wanted to recap the steps that we followed in the last years in order to adapt the shareholding and administrative structure of the business to the needs and trends of the market and to the challenges that we face in our growth strategy. Some years ago, we took the first step with the administrative integration of Celsa and Nebsa, which allowed in its moment the articulation of operations and was redundant in terms of commercial and operational synergies. The beginning of this year, we took another step, increasing the shareholding participation of Celsa and Nebsa, which reached 61.3%, wanting to turn Nebsa in the operational and growth vehicle of our energy business in Colombia. Today, we have the challenge of taking this last step in terms of that strategic direction, concentrating our strategic operational assets in Colombia, Nebsa, in order to consolidate our innovative, robust, and efficient offer for our customers. This decision is in the hands of the shareholders of this company, and we're expecting to have positive news about this in next quarter results. Following our strategic bet on renewable non-conventional energies, I wanted to highlight the announcement recently done, increasing the shareholding participation in Bengoa Power, reaching 57% of its ownership. This company counts today with four wind generation projects in Guajira for a total installed capacities of 330 MW that added to the solar farm projects that we have with Celsa, where we have a goal to reach 250 MW of installed capacity, are an example of the great magnitude of that bet that we're making on the energy business for those renewable and clean energies in Colombia. Moving on to the operational results you can find on page 22, what we want to highlight, the increase to the non-regulated market that for the quarter increased a 12%, doubling the dynamic of the market growth. In terms of energy generation, this was maintained stable in this quarter, supported by a larger thermal generation at the free trade zone due to the system requirements presented in the restrictions of the Caribbean region, while the contribution of water energy was negative. Following a prudent commercial strategy in terms of recovering the hydraulic reserves of Nebsa, which according to El Niño phenomenon, might be having a reduction for 2018-2019. Moving on to the financial results in slide number 23, we could see an increase of 8.5% in consolidated income, which reached COP 852 billion. In terms of the distribution and transmission business, the network connection and use incomes added 70 billion Colombian pesos with an increase of 6%, while the other business added 266 billion Colombian pesos with an increase of 13%. In terms of EBITDA, this was 259 billion Colombian pesos. This reduction was explained by higher expenses associated to thermal generation and specific events concerning the energy contracting in Central America. Net debt at the end of the third quarter was close to 3 trillion Colombian pesos with a net debt EBITDA rate of 2, 2.6x. We've also canceled the value of 760 billion Colombian pesos that together with the renegotiation exercises done in the financial market has led to an optimization of the capital structure for Celsia, aligned with what has also happened in the other branches of the business. Now, speaking about the real estate business, you might find these slides on page 25 and 26. For the third quarter, there were incomes of 31 billion Colombian pesos, where we had writings for 400 billion Colombian pesos, plus the prices of Argos groups and deferred incomes. It's also important to highlight the reduction of 9% in administrative expenses that went from 5 billion Colombian pesos to 4,500 million Colombian pesos, according to the goal, efficiency goal that we've set. The urban development business has led to savings close to 14% in terms of expenses. For the fourth quarter, we wanna have two transactions that are close to 84 billion Colombian pesos in terms of revenue and 42 billion Colombian pesos in terms of EBITDA. We also wanna have a result in cash flow coming for those transactions for this quarter of 25 billion Colombian pesos. One of these transactions would represent a very important milestone for the future development of Bareau. In addition, these two transactions reflect more than 18 months of negotiations and management, a particular area associated to our strategy, making chunks of land that are considered large. Concerning the real estate business, I wanna highlight that for the third quarter, Protección completed its investment commitments with less capital call for 85 billion Colombian pesos, reaching 600 billion that had been previously agreed. Leaving them with a participation of 27.5% in that fund. During the quarter, Bankia sold three assets coming from its investment policy, given that within them, they didn't have a majority. This way, the net rentable area was 677,000 square meters. The assets under the administration added 3.6 billion Colombian pesos, which represented operational incomes of 81 billion Colombian pesos, which include 18 billion Colombian pesos coming from those assets that were previously mentioned. Before moving on and to the Q&A session, I wanted to highlight that close to the end of 2018, we can say that this has been a year of strategic coherence, where the positive trend of all our businesses confirms that the north that we've set can lead to a very important value capture from the active management of this holding. The good results of our branches, added with the successful strategy followed by our financial management, allow us to have the necessary flexibility in order to proceed with consistency, showing growth in our businesses in a profitable manner. In this way, I'm gonna open the session for any questions, doubts, or queries that you might have. Thank you. Right now, we want to remember you all that if you have any questions, please press star followed by key 1 in your phone dial, star 1 to ask questions. My first question is coming from Federico Perez from Banco Colombia. Good morning. Thank you for the presentation, Jorge Mario. Just have a question, and it's based on income for the participation that you presented for Sator. That's the coal business. I'd like to ask you if you could maybe tell us what are your perspectives for in the short and midterm for this business, given that this is showing positive profits, and if you have thought on making these investments in this business. Federico, thank you for your question. I'm going to divide this question into two. Figures have certain connotations, like the provision devolution or expenses, and I'll be explaining this more in taxation area. Alejandro will be speaking about this later on, but from a strategic vision, the business, the coal business, that's supported by an asset that we have in Puerto Libertad, Cordoba, it's an open pit mine, has been presenting the EBITDA results, a positive EBITDA results. It's explained due to a careful management that has been properly executed from an operation point of view, but also has been supported by a positive dynamic around coal prices. So we are going through a moment where we offer positive results in terms of accounting, in terms of cash. But nevertheless, I want to be explicit and I want to be direct by saying that the group doesn't have as a main business line, as a long-term business line, participating in the coal exploitation business. This is an asset that, as you might recall, comes from the non-cement assets back in 2012 that we've been operated since then. In terms of the disinvestment, we've effectively considered the possibility of disinvesting, of making a disinvestment in this asset. And for this, we are thinking on certain alternatives, nothing concrete for the moment, but it's not a business in which we are focused or that we think that we will keep on growing long term. It's an important asset that we have, that we keep, that we administrate, that we carefully administrative results show this, but it's not a long-term bet that the group has. Let me give the floor to Alejandro if he could maybe explain a bit better about the particularities of the figures for this quarter that obviously have some specific considerations. Well, thank you, Jorge. Well, following under Jorge's train of thought, for you to better understand how the Sator figures come into Argos Group in a consolidated manner, the revenues for September 2017 were close to 66 billion Colombian pesos. For September 2018, 67 billion Colombian pesos. Meanwhile, the revenue was very similar, but when you look at the contribution that Sator has in the consolidated EBITDA for Argos Group, we went from 11.8 billion Colombian pesos to 30 billion Colombian pesos, and that difference basically is explained by the possibility that we had to return a provision that we had from a litigation that we had in the past. That was possibly what we did, is that we took this to accounting in the measure that we had a contingency, but given that the litigation has been solved by now, we were able to return once again that provision. In terms of Sator, and obviously EBITDA goes from 11.8 to 30 billion Colombian pesos. Besides that, and to measure that Sator has been a company going from a deficit to a profit, the accounting norm, what tells us is that when the company has a loss, we need to establish certain deferred taxes, and given that the company started generating profit now, we have the capacity of returning deferred taxes in our favor from one side and compensating the operational losses, and we also had some benefits from an income point of view, so we could cross this, and this was really to an impact that from a net profit point of view, we go from September 2017 from 16 billion Colombian pesos to September 2018 at 75 billion Colombian pesos. So as you can see, those are two elements that actually explain that effect that's reflected in September, but afterwards is reflected in Grupo Argos consolidated reports. Thank you, Jose Maria Alejandro. If you allow for a second question, bearing in mind market prices of the group was of the group stocks, and also from Cemento itself, and knowing from management, you thought maybe a strategy to implement the price to increase the price of the stocks. If you thought maybe a repurchase of stocks, or what have you thought about the stock price? Well, thank you, Federico. I would divide the question to two or three lines. This allows me to drill down on this question. Obviously, market price for our stocks are following a certain condition that, well, not just in the fundamental analysis that we've done, but also in market analysis, deeply differs from the fundamental value of the companies. The performance of the businesses is positive, with positive trends, and that will be increasable in the long term. So the first message that I'd like to convey is that all analysis, both ours as externals, show a difference between the value found in the market and the fundamental value of what we have in the businesses. What this means is it's an opportunity. It's a very interesting interest opportunity. And following the actual prices, both for national and international investors, and that train of thought, the shares of the company are focused on a very active management, where we are visiting and having a conversation with investors, both national and international investors, in order to discuss with them the different business perspectives. Second, the company, as I mentioned before, has taken opportunity decisions when we've seen the market, as we've done in the cement business, as we've done also in Celsius capitalization, and the cash flow that you have in your presentation. You can also see that we've focused 1.2 trillion Colombian pesos this quarter to invest in the titles of our strategic businesses. Having said that, speaking about the Grupo Argos stock price, well, this has been some important movements in the market. Knowing about the position of a very respectable fund that actually relocated their investments in Asia and not Latin America. Not because of Grupo Argos, but it was because of the region, and this obviously has led opportunity for negotiations. There was a renegotiation of Argos group shares for close to 4%. So in general terms, the fundamental value is substantially higher than what the market shows right now. Active management with all international and national investors taking positions in terms that we have the opportunity with the operations close to 1 trillion Colombian pesos, and we could keep on acting in the same line, capturing value when we find the right opportunity. Yeah, thank you. Next question, Rodrigo Sanchez from Corredores de Vivienda. Good morning. Thank you for your presentation. I have two questions. First question is related with the accounting records that you have for investment properties, and more specifically in real estate development assets. So I'd like to understand this figure, two point something that you have in your records. How much of this could come from Baru and Barranquilla, and how much could this come from landlords located elsewhere? And my second question is maybe you could tell us about strategic vision for Praktya, or strategic growth for Praktya in the upcoming quarters, if you are thinking on doing additional contributions, or if you are waiting for a bit more, if you're expecting more disinvestment in this asset, or selling assets, as you've recently announced for those three assets that will be going into 4D. Well, thank you, Rodrigo, that made about this question. So I could give the word to Maria Clara Aristizabal, who's the manager of the real estate business, if she could lead the first part of this question. The question about how are the records in terms of the real estate business, and after which we could see which has been the commitment in terms of contribution for the real estate business, the strategy that we're following with these investments that we mentioned during the script. So first, let me give the word to Maria Clara, and then Alejandro can proceed and answer your question. Well, Marun Barranquilla represent approximately 70% of the value that you can find in our ledgers. Without no doubt, it is the two most important assets that we are concentrating our efforts in. And the disinvestment that we mentioned for the 4T1, the fourth quarter, one is for Barranquilla and the other one's for Barú. We are focusing and disinvesting in going for larger chunks of land. This leads to lower capex investments. It's a bit different from what we did before, where we sold smaller land lots. This new strategy of selling the largest land lots, it takes longer, of course, because the values are larger. For example, in this case, we've taken 18 months structuring these businesses and actually structuring other businesses that are in the pipeline. And complementing to what Maria Clara mentioned, from a Praktya point of view, the strategy still is the same strategy that we've been following. We've seen Praktya, a business in where we've been generating a much more liquid driver through a capital fund generation, private capital, and that in this case, and the strategy that we've been following is that the cash contributions come due to new business partners. Because of this, we have protection with 600 billion Colombian pesos in our growth pipeline. What this shows is that Praktya is a very important cash generator, as we've seen up to date. But we've projected that this year we'll be receiving a Praktya contribution around 115 billion Colombian pesos versus a 5 billion that we received last year. We also need to say that Praktya has a strategy for capital rotation. So part of what has been defined in Praktya's committee is that there's going to be a series of assets that, from our point of view, in terms of value, have already complied with their cycle, and that's why we decided to disinvest around 280 billion Colombian pesos from one side. From another side, there's some very important investment plans at company level, and if you look at the total investments done by Praktya from 2018 to 2026, we're speaking about investment for more than 1 billion Colombian pesos. For 2018, we're speaking about 350 billion Colombian pesos in its pipeline, where obviously we have trade, offices, hotels, logistics, and storage, which effectively shows that from a company strategy point of view, clearly there's this vision of keep on growing and keep on following the strategy where we recover assets instead of buying assets. And we've seen this in strategies such as the construction of Hilton Hotel in Bogota. It's almost ready. Okay, thank you. Next question, Joanna Castro from Itaú. Good morning. My question is related with the transaction that Celsius is expecting to do with EPSA. I have two questions there. what would be which would who would be the or which would be the company that will be participating in the renewable energy bids that will be or renewable energy calls that will be happening the first quarter next year? What would be the logics followed for that in terms of EPSA and the renewable energy participation? And the second question is, what is the negotiation strategy, or how would the negotiations be with the next most important shareholder, that in this case would be the city of Cali, because they decided to take a position and an active position, a passive position. What type of administrator, what type of business partner would be the municipality for EPSA in this case? Well, thank you, Joana. Let me divide this into sections. Explain a bit of the detail of the operation. As I explained in the presentation, what's being considered today by the EPSA's assembly is an operation by which some assets are transferred, owned by EPSA, as three small centrals, Hidro Montañitas, Piedras, and San Andrés de Cuenca project, that each of them 20 megawatts, small plants, plus the wind projects that we were also speaking of, for 330 megawatts in Guajira, and the real estate for the projects, for solar projects that we have in Valledupar, close to Bucaramanga. As well as the mandate for the asset, for the hydroelectric generation asset representation. That's what, in terms of assets, is transferred to EPSA. And there's a consideration, there's a proposal simultaneously moving a debt to pay Celsia for these assets, an operation that has been approved by independent investment banks and by advisors also for a transparent operation between the parts. So I say this operation has been done with the highest corporate governance standards and also attending all of the institutionality for its operation. It's shareholders, it's not just the city of Cali, but CEI and another minority shareholders that exist. Celsia has around 63% of EPSA right now, but the other shareholders, well, CDC as well, the others are also relevant. So what's going to be presented in the assembly is that transfer of that of those assets. In Celsia, we keep the assets in Central America, and there's going to be other thermal generation assets, as well as the process set by Celsia. In terms of the open and call, it's going to be the company that represents the typology of the assets that are going to be presented, the renewable assets that are going to be presented, and that are going to be presenting, and I would like to keep reservations around this process, because this is something that we're still studying yet, and we're trying to study which types of assets and which are the value levers that we're going to be presenting in that open call, both for the short and long term. And this will be some of the drivers according to the terminology that we'll be presenting there. There's going to be possibilities of presenting hydraulic assets, thermal assets, or renewable assets. So it's going to be the driver that gives us the best condition. From the role of our business partner, the role that our business partner plays. So we deeply value this business partner, has been key for EPSA's growth, has not just brought to the table local knowledge, but also support. So we feel glad of having the City of Cali as well as CDC business partners. It has been a win-win-win situation, has been completely respectful, but has also generated value, and not just for Celsius shareholders between them, Grupo Argos and the rest of the shareholders, but also for the City of Cali and CTC. But this operation pretends, as I was mentioned before, is to consolidate within this vehicle the possibility of non-traditional renewable energy. That's a great bet, balancing this with the hydraulic, with the water resource that we have, and increasing all the businesses through those 670,000 customers that we have in that part of the country. So it's a wonderful and positive relation. And this also is aligned with our strategy of looking at efficiencies and focusing our growth strategy towards the future. But we want to keep on counting with the City of Cali, with CDC, and with the rest of the shareholders. Okay, perfect. My question was more focused. Like, it's in the future we need a super larger project. And due to its limitations in terms of quality of investor, it can't increase its capital investment. So it'd be Celsius' role to capitalize larger projects. Or is there any agreement about this, or how does this relationship work? Oh, there's no agreement. There's no agreement. Well, it's not just in Cali, but it's CDC also. There's no agreement in terms of capitalization or non-capitalization, nor taking capitalization, or no interest in diluting any shareholder within the company. In the moment, there are projects, certain size projects, and we will have a discussion within the company in terms of, so that project will be the equity structure that the vehicle might take, which would be the resources, which would be the capitalization options, and obviously, as any open society will to be able to maintain, they could keep their share, or. But there's no agreements, really. There's no agreements giving any preferences for any of the business partners. It's case by case. Okay, thank you. Next question, Juliana Garcia from Ultra 35. Good morning. First of all, I want to thank for the conference. And my question is more focused towards operational revenues of the company. Why the participation method for Celsius is negative, and if this is explained to the standardizations that you do, what is this about and why is it negative? Well, thank you, Juliana. Let me give the word to Alejandro if we can break down the participation method. There's a graph there. Yeah, I would say two things. More than being negative is that the variation is negative. If you analyze the participation method in general terms in September 2017 compared to September 2018, you could see that there's a significant increase. But nevertheless, if you analyze Celsius component participation method, for the third quarter, it goes from 40,000 to from 40 billion to 25 billion Colombian pesos. And this it follows what Jorge Mario previously mentioned in terms of results, that effectively, in terms of third quarter, there was this difference. But if you analyze this at a consolidated level, for the third quarter, we could see that effectively, Celsius contribution still positive. Yeah, I'm seeing financial results, and it says cement sektörüne kontribüyor. Türk bilyon kullanım tesisin enerji minus 15 bilyon kullanım tesis. So I don't know if that's a variation, this delta. Yeah, it goes from 40,000 to 40 billion to 25 billion. So the delta is negative. It's negative delta. Not, it's not a negative figure, it's a negative delta. Last year, it were 40 billion. This year, we're 25 billion. That's right, what you're saying. Perfect. And if you could tell us a little bit more about the standardizations that you're doing. In your financial results, you say that the results that you've said might be different from the ones that you might find in some articles. So how are this standardizations done and why are they different? Two things here, just for us to be clear. In the case of Odinsa, the way we record our revenues, apart from an acquisition where we had to do something that's called a PPA, is an asset valuation. This is a starting point for our financial information that we consolidate within our reports, different from the information that Odinsa reflects in the market. So here's where there's different differences. An additional thing is that us, due to participation methods, this certain numbers or accounting figures that we need to delete within our accounting, which lead to differences in the company's results compared with the results that we consolidate for the companies for Arcos Group. There's a series of examples there that show this and lead to different types of numbers. Anyway, if you want, we can maybe sit down with the investor relations group and we can explain this more thoroughly. Let me propose something. This has to do with several points. But if you would like, we can sit down, we could prepare a short presentation so you could see how these standardizations are done between the different businesses and the holding. Yeah, that would be great. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Next question, Estefania Mosquera from Credit Corp Capital. Good morning. Thank you for the presentation. I have two questions, mainly focused to the concession business. First question, you were saying in the report that a green corridor finalization document has not been signed yet. So what are you expecting on this front, and how would this sign affect the Odense's financial results? And second, what are you expecting from the Meta's road grid or Meta Majavial? So let me give the word to Paula Rojave. She could give us a bit more detail of the standardization for the green corridor contract. And I'd like to ask Dr. Mauricio Osa, who's also online, if he could maybe tell us a bit more about El Meta road grid in terms of actual execution and what can we expect for the future. And thank you, Stefania. In terms of green corridor, let me tell you that for next week, and 22nd of November, we're waiting for something that's called FRAC completion. FRAC completion is according not just with the concession contract, but with the credit contract that financed the road construction. It moves from construction phase to operation and maintenance phase. This doesn't have much effect in terms of the financial results for Odensa, because before that project completion, that's what we're expecting for next week, there was this milestone called the availability certificate. So in this case, the Aruba government declared the infrastructure available for use, and that statement leads us do a lot, and then we could present the invoices, because remember that we charge for having an available road and not by tolls. And this actually was done in August. So Green Corridor has already presented the first invoice, and that invoice has already been paid. So in terms of cash, the product is receiving cash, and it's been started, and the resources that we have is the availability payments, and it will keep on being. The only difference that we'll have starting from next week is that those payments will include a maintenance component, so they will be slightly higher. This was expected and modeled within the project. But in terms of incorporating the Green Corridor results in the Odinsa's accounting and in the Grupo Argos's accounting, there's no change really, because what I wrote down is something that has to do with cash, the incomes. There's no relevant effect really. Let me give the word to Mauricio so he can speak about El Meta real quick. Thank you, Pablo. Thank you, Stefania. Thank you for your questions. As Pablo just mentioned, Green Corridor doesn't have a major effect, and we're close to change the phases now. In El Meta road grid, we're in the following situation. The contract is suspended for its construction phase because at the same time, there's an arbitration tribunal being carried out. So this means that all the activities related with studies and design of the project continue, and we are currently operating and maintaining the road. The rest of the responsibilities within the contract, such as equity, construction, these are stopped for the moment. These have been suspended. The tribunal has been, for last year, the conclusion phase has come to an end now. The only thing that is missing is the arbitration. There's two alternatives, two dates. An original date that has been determined by the judges. It's 5th of October. Probably it's going to be extended, and it is going to be a time extension asked for. And if this time extension is granted, then the ruling would be around February. After this, what needs to be solved is what's the future of that contract? Is this a contract that's not, is it a contract that's not economically feasible, or is it a contract that needs to be adjusted in size in order for it to be once again financially feasible? What needs to be said that this has led to a significant drop in the traffic associated to the oil operation in all its categories. And those that move machinery, traffic moving machinery, those moving drills, and category that moves finished product. This drop has happened because an external effect, and that the price, the oil price drop compared with the structuring date of the contract and the exploitation volume that has been happening in that zone. So as conclusion, we're close to know the ruling, what's going to be the end of this ruling. To use the expression that Jorge Mario has mentioned during his presentation, is that even in this case, that the DNA of our group has been present, because we followed a due diligence with that arbitration tribunal, also supported by financial, taxation, and legal experts in order to support each one of the parts. Yes, and I would like to highlight also that we are very optimistic, as Mauricio says, due to the arguments that we've presented, the capacity that we've shown to defend ourselves, and the expert results that we have here at the moment, which give us faith on our institution and our institutionality. I guess that with those two topics, we could explain both topics, Aruba and Metas, real quick. Next question, Natalia Segovia from Porvenir. Good morning to you all. Thank you for your presentation. I'd like to know what has happened with the audience strategic partner. You were looking for a strategic partner. How has that come out? And the process and the dynamic of Argos Group, as we've previously expressed, has an open vision, not just to expand its operations or increase participation in other businesses, but looking at the best possibilities for return optimization. We also want to bring a particular business partner. That's in our DNA. When you look at the energy businesses, as I mentioned before, we have very important business partners. I mean, in EPSA, for example, we have important business partners, the cement business in Panama, in the Dominican Republic, in Honduras, and many other countries where we operate. So this is a process that I would like to highlight. It's a dynamic and permanent process within the group, both for the capital rotation within those businesses, as well as bringing in new shareholders to those particular assets or to the companies. These processes have been complying. We've spoken with several parties that would like to be part of this. We have nothing concrete yet, but the assets and the platform that Ordensa has right now is unique, is replicable. It's divided into two fundamental pillars with very good quality assets, known as key assets, which are fundamental for the country. So there's interest in several of them. There's nothing concrete yet. We've had conversations with several shareholders, and in the moment that there's been approximation in that sense, we will share with all the shareholders. So this is still being discussed. There's different parties that are interested in particular assets and in groups of assets, and we evaluate the possibilities of participating or not with several of them. So there's nothing yet. There's nothing definite yet. But there's conversations happening right now. Thank you. This would be the end of the questions. Let us give the word to the panel members so they could express their final comments. Thank you all. Thank you all the analysts, investors, and friends that are with us. Any questions, additional doubts, or any compliments for the information, just let us know. We're here to help, more than open for any doubts that you might have and any information that you might need. Just please let us know through Natalia or through anyone on the team. Thank you all and have a nice day. This will be the end of today's conference. We want to thank you all for your participation. Now you can disconnect.